Amen. In your Bibles there, the second book there, Exodus chapter 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. And I'll try to be brief tonight by the grace of God, whatever brief means. Amen. Exodus 17, verse 8. One more time, would you stand together in honor and in love for this book? Amen. And Exodus 17, as I read aloud, you follow in there quietly in your place. Beginning in verse 8. Then came Amalek.
Amen.
And that's a mouthful right there. And fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Folks, this was a fight to the death.
Yeah.
There was no holds barred in this battle. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. It's almost like God said, I don't care what book, I don't care how you write it down, he said. Right. Moses is saying, Aaron, Hur, quick, anybody have a notepad, anybody have an ink pen? Amen, write it down, God said write it down, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Jehovah Nissi. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, my heart's full. I thank you, God, for the message. I thank you for what it's already done in my heart. And Lord, I thank you for the prayer meeting. I thank you, God, for the song service. I thank you, God, for the testimonies. I thank you, God, for your church and your people. And Lord, I'm excited, Lord God, about the future, but I know we have real battles ahead. And God, I pray you'd help us tonight to learn how to face these properly. And Lord God, we look forward to seeing your victory. Bless now, I pray. Bind every bit of the Satan that tries to distract me and us, all of us. And Lord, I pray you to give perfect liberty. Give me clarity of thought, please God, illustration, scripture. Oh Lord, please, I pray for your spirit to have full control. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This is the first battle for the children of Israel in the wilderness. They've just recently come out of Egypt, not very long ago. And in the beginning of this chapter, they're already complaining about being thirsty, and there was really no water for the people to drink. It was reality. They were in the desert. They came across the Red Sea. They were thirsty. There was no water. And right before this story now is when Moses, with the rod of God, struck the rock. And it was okay to strike the rock the first time, by the way. He struck the rock, and God brought forth water out of the rock. And they had their water provided for them from the rock, a rock, an old, dusty, dry rock in the middle of the dirt desert. And that was something that only God could do. That was something that only God could do. And listen, their physical needs were met. They were content. They were kind of, if you will, you know, fat, dumb, and happy. They were content. They were comfortable. Listen to me. And here came Amalek. They were comfortable. They were content. And listen, let me make comparison here. We've been granted a great and glorious victory in this building here. You understand? Something that only God could do. That only God could do this. We're physically much more comfortable here. But listen to me. Here comes Amalek. Listen to me. I'm telling you what I know. Amalek, if you're not familiar with it, is Esau's grandson. Esau was Jacob's twin brother, and they typify the flesh and the spirit, Esau being the flesh, and Amalek is his grandson. Amalek is a type of the flesh in the Bible, and Amalek is on the attack in Exodus 17 and in this church. Amen. Amalek is on the attack. Listen to me. Our flesh, our natural man, the old man that's still in here, is our greatest enemy. Our flesh will always be God's greatest enemy. I'm telling you tonight, God, listen to me, look in verse 16. He said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That means God is against Amalek. That means God is against our nature, our sinful flesh. God says, God declared war right here in Exodus 17 against our sinful nature from generation to generation. Now hold your place here and turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The flesh, the Amalek, the old nature, the old man. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Had your mom and dad ever tell you, you better mind me, boy? You better mind me, young lady, right? You better mind. What does that mean? Obey. That means you better do what I say, or else. Just the tone of voice was, you better mind me, young lady, or else. Amen. And look what it says here in verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Then look in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. So the flesh, and to be minding the things of the flesh, is to be carnally minded. It's death. But to be spiritually minded is life, notice, and peace. Amen. Understand something. Listen to me. There is a possibility in reality in Christian life for us to still mind earthly things, for us to still mind things of the flesh. The Bible says when I do that, when I'm carnally minded, it's death. Right. But look, the comparison is made to spiritually minded, which is life and peace. Amen. Life and peace. Look in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity means it is absolutely, it places itself at opposition against God. It makes itself on purpose the enemy of God. The carnal mind, the old man, the nature that's still in you, Chris, brother. The nature that's still in me. It's still in innocent. It is the enemy of God. Look what it says in verse 7. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. What does that mean? That means your flesh cannot obey and please God even if it wanted to.
Right.
And trust me, it doesn't want to.
Right.
But what God's saying there is that our flesh is not subject to the law of God. Our flesh is rebellious.
Yes, right.
And there's nothing we can do to change that. Listen to me, when you find yourself rebelling against the law of God, it's Amalek.
Yep. Right.
It's your old man. It's a man that was in you and still in you, but it's a man that you were born with at your physical birth. The carnal mind is immature. It's rebellious against God. Look in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible. It's impossible. Look over in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's God speaking. Now, he doesn't hate a person. Remember, he's hating who Esau stands for. He's hating Amalek. Right. He says, I hate that old nature that's in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my flesh hates God. God hates my flesh. Yeah. Boy, that's a battle.
Yes, sir.
That's a big battle. That's a big problem. Amen. Would you agree with me there? That's a big problem. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Okay, we'll get back to Exodus here, but just laying some groundwork here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now this morning in Sunday school, we talked about walking in the commandments versus keeping the commandments. We talked about the difference because the Bible says that Zacharias, John the Baptist's daddy, walked, and his mother Elizabeth, they walked in the commandments and the ordinances of God. In other words, they lived their lives based on what God said. They didn't just obey God in isolated instance moments. That was their life. And so the Bible says here that that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. I'm to walk in the Spirit. I'm to live my life controlled by the Holy Spirit. And look what it says here in verse 16. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Yep. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So notice this next phrase. So that you cannot do the things that you would. How many of you have ever had that battle in your heart and your mind? I want to please God more, but I have this rotten flesh in me. I have this rotten nature in me that makes me rebellious, that cannot please God, that's always against God, that's always embarrassing me. It's giving me grief everywhere I turn. I can't get rid of this still. No, you can't, because it's right there. It's tagged on. It's attached. You're never going to get rid of it. It's a battle to the death.
Right.
It's a battle to the death. Literally. The flesh is the source of all lust against God. Everything in this world that is against God stems from someone's flesh. The flesh is completely contrary to the Holy Spirit of God, this book. For you to even be sitting here listening to me preach is a miracle of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
Because your flesh doesn't want to hear me preach. Your flesh doesn't want to hear the Bible. Your flesh doesn't want to hear the Holy Spirit. Your flesh doesn't want to hear anything from God. The Bible is plain about this. Your flesh hates what I'm preaching. Your flesh hates the Bible. Your flesh hates everything about the Holy Spirit of God. And so does mine. I mean, so think about the reality of this situation. There is no way that I can please God in and of myself. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Last one there is a rotten egg. I'm just kidding. 1 Peter 2, I'm just kidding. Amen. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now wait. He's saying, remember, this is Peter writing to Christians who are living in the world. I beseech you. He says, I'm begging you. Remember, you're strangers and you're pilgrims. You don't belong here. You're just passing through. He says, I'm begging you as strangers and pilgrims, while you have to be here in this land for this short period of time, abstain from what?
Fleshly
lusts. Abstain means absolutely zero tolerance. Nothing to do with it.
Right.
The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil.
Oh,
I mean, we don't need to teach our children how to have clean immorality. We don't need to teach our children education on how to fornicate against God and do it right. No, no, no. We need to abstain from every bit of it.
Amen.
Abstain from fleshly lust. What does it say? What does it say? Why? The reason for it. Because it's in your Bible. Because it wars against the soul. War. Now, a war is a big word, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, a battle can come and go. But a war keeps going. This war, amen, between your flesh and the Holy Spirit of God, between my flesh and the Holy Spirit of God, between Jesus and this old rotten sinful nature, this flesh is ongoing battle wars for the rest of my life. Wars against the spirit, wars against the soul. Listen to me, the soul is who you are inside.
Right.
Okay? The soul is the core of the man. Okay? The inner man, if you will. The soul also, listen to me, is the core of the church. Okay? The soul of the church. Now, I know we have a couple visitors here tonight, and it's a blessing to have you guys. Thank you very much for being here. But overall, this is the core of the church. Amen. You guys are the ones that are serving and soul winning and preaching and teaching and listen, just working. You are the core of the church. This group right here. Okay? Not the fringe, those that are just here and there, but this is the core here tonight. Listen to me. The flesh is warring against the soul. The flesh is warring against the core of our church. That's how it works. Listen to me. We have been given a great victory. God has done something that only He could do by moving us here. Amen. But now the flesh is warring against the soul. The flesh is warring against the soul. You remember the soul of Jesus' church was those faithful 11 disciples. Amen. One of them wasn't even saved. Amen. There's only 11 of them that were saved. And Jesus had a faithful core. Amen. He had a faithful 11 disciples who walked, and they weren't perfect, but they were the core. They were attacked by doubts and fears and Satan, and they were attacked by fiery darts. And this is the soul of our church, and we are under attack. We've got to respond properly. Go back to Exodus 17 now. Exodus 17. Let's find out how we should respond. And listen to me, even as I mentioned the visitors, it doesn't matter. This applies to everybody individually and collectively, amen. Because as a saved man, born again, I still have this old Amalek in me, battling and warring against my soul. It's not that Amalek cares about you know, whether or not I gained 10 pounds over Thanksgiving. He's warring against my soul.
Right.
He's warring against my inner man. He's fighting the man that God is trying to make me in here, amen. He's warring against that. He's warring against the fight that's spiritually happening inside our hearts and our minds every day of our lives. So what do we do? Number one, fighting is only part of the equation, but it is necessary. Okay? This is a real fight. You can't get out of this. You can't get away from this. I don't mean to discourage you, but you've got to learn to fight your flesh. We've got to learn to fight our flesh. Look at verse 9 of Exodus 17. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and try to find peace. Try to arrange some type of agreement. No, he said go fight.
Amen.
He said, go fight. He didn't even hesitate. I don't even see him praying about that one, amen. He said, go fight. You've got to learn to fight that flesh. You cannot try to reason with it.
Right.
You cannot try to, I read you enough verses, I hope, that you can see the reality of the situation. It is diametrically and 100% wholly and entirely and completely opposed to everything about God.
Right.
You can't reason with someone like that, because there is no reasoning with that, because Amalek is never going to get saved. Amalek is never going to change. The Bible says that God is at war with Amalek forever until the end of time. We must not try to reason with carnal enemies of the mind of those around us either. Understand something. Isaiah chapter 1 says, God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Okay? He nowhere tells you to try to reason with him.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to win him to Christ. You may try. That's great. But the Bible says that after two or three admonitions, if you prove a man to be a heretic, you reject him.
Right.
Because you know that he's subverted in his mind and he sinneth, and he's condemning his own self. There is a time and a place where you got to stop trying to reason with the flesh, and you got to fight back by rejecting and getting away and doing. You can't kill yourself. I'm not talking about suicide, and I'm certainly not talking about homicide, but I am talking about fighting and realizing that that person or that flesh that's in you or in somebody else is warring against your soul.
That's right. Wow.
Listen, let God reason with them.
Amen.
He's better at it. He's got a whole lot more power than we do. You need to reject them and be careful and not let them devour you. Let God reason with them. Pray for them and let God reason. Listen, but turn. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Whew. But it says, but that the soul may be saved.
Yeah.
That's what it says. See, we try to reason with them, and we try to get them with our intellect, and maybe we'll throw a verse in there, but that's not what God says to do. That's not going to be successful. They are going to continue to war yourself, maybe, but there's always going to be that battle. I can't reason with it. I've got to fight it. I can't try to come to terms with it. I've got to fight it. Listen to me. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I can't try to reason with leaven, amen. Brother Jose, and I think we were talking about leaven the other day in institute class, and he asked about what it was. And you know, it's just the little bitty seed or little bitty pinch of something like a sodium or some type of ingredient that goes in bread. And instead of being flat bread, you know, it's puffed up bread. It's just got all this air bubbles in it all over the place, and it just makes it more fluffy and it makes it fuller. It just leavens, it rises that whole loaf of bread. It just takes a little bit. Just put a little bit in there, and instead of being a flat piece of bread, it's a puffy up loaf of bread. Well, the Bible says that just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It doesn't take much. And the flesh is always, listen to me, every second of your life trying to leaven your life. Trying to puff you up with everything it can find to make you a puffed up, prideful, arrogant, heady, high-minded, and just impossible person. And you listen, and pride is what God resists.
That's right.
Pride. You've got to fight that. You can't just say, well, I only got a little bit of leaven. I've only got a little bit of sin. I've only got a little bit of things in my life that aren't right. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Fighting is not everything, but I've got to understand that it's going to be a fight. I can't avoid it. I can't get away from it. I wish I could tell you that tomorrow maybe it'll be gone. It's not going to be gone. I won't lie to you. It's going to be there.
Amen.
And it's going to be here in our church too.
Yeah.
Fighting is not the whole equation, but it is, without fail, it is necessary. It cannot be substituted. Number two, the fighting was done by chosen men. Look in verse 9. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Listen to me. America was founded by men.
Amen.
Jesus' church was founded and started with men.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, ladies are necessary, but understand something. The fight has got to be manlike, if you will, okay? You understand? You can't be weak in this fight. You can't lay down in this fight. You can't fight half-heartedly.
Right.
You've got to fight like a man. You've got to fight with all of your heart. It can't just be, listen, you notice not everyone was chosen to fight this battle.
Right.
Choose us out men.
Yeah.
What kind of men do you think he chose out? I'm going to show you. Look in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30. What kind of people, what kind of man, what kind of Christians are going to be able to fight this, are going to be able to withstand this flesh? Proverbs 30:30, amen? Y'all know what a 30:30 is, don't you? Here it is. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. So lion-like men are strong that do not turn away, even from the flesh. But I want to show you back in Proverbs 28, verse 1. Who are these lions? Who are these lion-like Christians? Proverbs 28, verse 1. A lion's not going to turn away from anybody, but look, verse 1 of chapter 28, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But what's it say? The righteous. Or what? Bold as a lion.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? What does that mean, preacher? That means, listen to me, the problem in our churches today is that we're not living righteously. Therefore, we don't have the boldness to fight back like the lion that we need to be.
Amen.
Can I just boil it down to one word? Sin.
Yes, sir.
That's right, brother.
Sin. I don't think Joshua went out there and chose, the little feeble man who had one leg to go fight the battle. But see, sin debilitates. Sin cripples. Sin handicaps. The Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth. That means they are cowards. When you're filled with sin and your life is unrighteous and you're rebelling against God, you're living in your flesh to begin with. You're not going to fight your flesh because you're on his side.
Right. That's right.
The righteous, however, are bold as lions. And listen, that's what the reason so many folks are destroyed by Amalek is because they will not clean up their life. And Amalek devours. See, only men, only Christians with righteous lives are going to be like lions, and they're not going to turn aside for anything. They're going to fight this battle.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's convicting.
Right.
How many times do we lay around and spiritually suck our spiritual thumbs because we just don't want to give up our sin? Boy, we can find ways to blame everybody else. We can find ways to even blame God.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Look in Proverbs 19. 19, verse 3. I'm hurrying, but I'm going to follow the Lord's leadership here. Proverbs 19, verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and then his heart fretteth against the Lord. So that means what I do is I get myself in all kinds of problems. I invite this battle into my life. I invite Amalek into my life. I invite Amalek into my living room. And then I blame God for all my problems. No wonder you're not winning the battle. The foolishness of man, listen, we invite the sin into our lives, and then we fret against God. God, how could you do this? How could you allow? Listen, it's because the righteous are bold as lions, and the lion does not turn away from any.
Right.
But wouldn't it be a blessing to have a church, even if it's just the core, the soul of this church, amen, to not turn away from anything because our lives are righteous.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking, that's what we need. That's what America needs, again, is some good old-fashioned men with some guts, amen, to say, I'm not going to lie down and let Satan live and rule my family.
Amen.
It's still all over the Bible, guys. Exodus 17, go back there now. Fighting was part of the equation. It wasn't the whole thing, but it was necessary. It was done by chosen men. Number three, but following was also very necessary. Look in verse 10. Joshua did as Moses had said to him.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's so simple, but Joshua didn't argue.
Yeah.
He didn't argue with his authority. He didn't try to find a better way. He didn't say, well, why do I have to battle? Why don't you do it, Moses? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with him? Why me? I don't see that anywhere. It's not in there. Moses said unto Joshua, specifically, he said, boy, go find some men and go fight. I'm going to sit over here in this rocking chair.
Yeah.
He didn't say it that way, but he didn't say he was going to do anything. He said, I'm going to go up to the mountain. Oh, you're going to go up to the mountain. Oh, you're going to go up to the mountain. Well, I'm down here fighting Amalek. I don't see Joshua saying that. Joshua did not argue. See, we've got to. We're going to accomplish a whole lot more if we stay in our place. Joshua, listen, Joshua is going to have his turn leading the Israelites, but it wasn't time for that.
Right.
Boy, if you can learn to follow right now, wherever you're at in your life, follow your parents, follow your pastor, follow your authority. Listen, God will use you when it's time. He will promote you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and listen, He'll exalt you in due time.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what it says. Samuel said, well, Dad, one day maybe I'll be the pastor of this. And I want to pastor the church because we got this nice new building. And I said, son, you got to put your time in first, boy. But reality is reality. Listen to me. The reason Joshua was chosen for leadership after Moses died is because in Joshua chapter 1, God called him Moses' minister. That's all he was, a servant. The word minister is servant. Number next. Fervent prayer was necessary. I'm talking about how to fight this fight. Look in verse 10. Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses lifting up his hands with the rod of God is a picture of prayer.
Amen.
The man of God interceding for the congregation in the battle. Boy, I tell you what. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Amen. Without wrath and doubting. But there's more to it here. There's the man of God interceding for the flock of God.
Amen.
Verse 11 says that when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. That is powerful.
Yeah.
Now listen, that's on me, y'all. That's on me. I want you to understand something. The battle was lost. The flesh was victorious when the man of God let down his hands. And boy, did God ever get a hold of me with this verse. And I'm just preaching this. This is really just me preaching to myself. Y'all just hang on for a minute. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 12:23, God forbid, Samuel said, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Wow. There's a whole lot of responsibility in being the leader, but listen to me. I endeavor, and by the grace of God, I will do it even more to continue to pray for you. To pray for you and your families and your needs and your problems and your battles. Listen, that's where God has placed me. But think about this. What if you weren't in church?
Oh, yeah.
Guess who wins?
Amen. Yeah.
That's right. Guess who wins?
That's right. That's right.
Not you.
Right.
Amalek.
Yep.
Because you have placed yourself out from under the intercession of your pastor.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Yep. Preacher, you mean you're not going to pray for me if I leave church? Yes. But not every day like I used to.
Right.
I pray for the flock.
Right.
I'm responsible for this flock.
Right.
I'm not responsible for you if you run away.
Right.
I'm not. You read the Bible in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm accountable for the flock that God's given me. But if you decide to leave, get out from underneath that, hey, that's on you.
Right.
And you don't prevail, Amalek does.
That's right.
Now, I've got a large responsibility. And by the grace of God, I'm working on it more and more, praying more and more, interceding more and more for you. And this is very important, apparently, obviously, by the grace of God. But listen, don't you dare think that if you get out from underneath it, that everything's going to be okay. It don't work that way.
Right.
Don't work that way. Quickly. Next. The flesh is defeated by the sword. Look in verse 13. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Wow. That's an interesting word, discomfited. Discomfited, I don't know how you pronounce it. You choose, it doesn't really matter to me. Discomfited, though, listen to me. It happened by the sword, by the edge of the sword. It means, this word discomfited means to leave them prostrate. It means to leave them on the ground, flat, on their face or their backs, either way. Obviously, dead. Defeated. Okay? The sword is pointed out here in verse 13. The sword is specifically mentioned here, and I don't think, listen, it's not by accident. God could have just said, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people.
Right.
And it would have been just as much, but there's more to it. There's a reason God put that. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is important. Amen. Understand something. The word of God is the sword.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen to me. The sword beats my flesh into submission.
Yeah. Amen.
The sword beats my flesh in this book right here.
Yeah.
You've heard it said before, and it's just as old as the hills, but it's still good, amen. That book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that book.
Right.
That book will keep you from Amalek, or Amalek will keep you from that book.
Yeah, come on.
The sword is what slain, and it's an interesting term, though, discomfited. Discomfited, listen, they were flat on their back, prostrate, dead. Think about this. The Bible is my sword to defeat my own flesh, my Amalek that has to live in here every day. I wake up and there he is again.
Right.
And how does it, where does it leave me? Prostrate on my face before God.
Amen.
Oh God, my flesh is not going to win this battle. My flesh is not going to overtake my family. My flesh is not going to cause me to get out of your will. You see, my flesh is prostrate on the ground.
Right.
And that's a beautiful picture
of
prayer.
Amen.
Prostrate before, turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The Word of God gets me on my face. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
The Word of God gets me on my face. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, John speaking of Jesus, of course, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Why? He wasn't dead. Now, Amalek was dead, But I promise you, when John saw him and fell at his feet as dead, his flesh was not controlling his life anymore.
Amen. Right. That's right, bro.
I don't know about you, but this is going somewhere right here in this heart.
Amen.
He saw him and he fell at his feet as dead. In other words, Amalek was dead.
Right.
Amalek was dead where he needs to be every day.
Yep. Amen.
When I saw, what does it say? When I saw him.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you can't see Jesus now. Oh, listen to me. He's right here.
That's right. That's right.
You don't believe me? Okay, turn to Revelation 19. Turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. I'm really reaching the end of the message. I'm shocked. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful, capital F, and True, capital T. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. His name is called what?
The Word of God.
Hallelujah. That's my Savior. His name is called the Word of God. He is the Word of God. When I look into this Word of God, I'm looking into Jesus' eyes. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved.
Amen.
The armies which were in heaven, verse 14, followed him. That's me and you, amen. Upon white horses. There's your horse, Miss Chelsea, amen. God's got a white horse in heaven for you. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Boy, you listen to me. There's no filthiness in heaven. There's no spots, there's no blemish, there's nothing, amen. It's clothed in fine linen, white and clean, the best you could ever imagine, amen, without spot. And out of his mouth, in verse 15, goeth what? Glory to God. Out of his mouth, the word of God, goeth forth a what? A sharp sword. And with it he should smite the nations. Amalek. Smite the nations. Smite Amalek. And he should rule over them with a rod of iron. How's he going to do that? He's going to rule during that millennial kingdom with this book.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm on his side. I'm riding a white horse. Not his white horse, but I'm riding my own white horse. And I'm following my Savior. And his name is the word of God. His name is faithful. His name is true. Amen. And his sword is sharp.
Amen. That's right.
That's exciting to me, amen. This is really going to happen, y'all. This is really going to happen. Have you ever ridden a horse? Have you ever ridden a horse? Get ready, amen. I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. You probably have some kind of divine saddle that won't hurt. I don't know. But boy, you won't get saddle burn or whatever that is, amen. But anyway, but see, the flesh is defeated by the sword.
Right.
Hallelujah. The word of God. That's where we're at. Go back to Exodus 17. Glory to God. Listen to me now. How do we fight this battle? Well, we've got to fight. We can't reason. Okay? We can't just make agreements with it. We can't compromise. The fighting has got to be done by righteous lives, okay? Chosen men. Following is necessary. Listen, stay in your place and follow your leader that God has given you. I promise you, it will give you victory. And by the way, wives, that's your husband. Children, that's your parents, amen. Church members, that's your pastor. But as we follow the Lord, amen. Fervent prayer was necessary. Moses lifting up his hands, and then the flesh is defeated by the sword. But listen to me now. Go back to verse 15, and we're done. Sort of. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Wow. See, the flag was raised after the battle.
Amen.
Jehovah Nissi means this: the Lord is my banner.
Amen.
The Lord, Jehovah God, is my banner. See, after God gave them this victory against Amalek, it was just one battle. Remember, the war is still raging. But God will give you the victory in battle. And listen to me, you need to understand that the Lord is your banner. The Lord is your banner. See, he named an altar Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. A ship flies a banner to identify itself. A country flies a flag to identify itself. A state flies a flag to distinguish where and with whom it stands. Listen to me. Moses built an altar and said, the Lord is my flag. The Lord is my ensign. The Lord is my standard. The Lord is my beacon. Jehovah God has won this battle for me, and I identify with him.
Amen.
Because he did it. I could never do it by myself. He said, when you look at us, he said, listen to me, Amalek, listen to me, all you Gog and Magog, and all of you Bashan and Og, and all of you kings out here in the wilderness that want to fight and come against us, the Lord is our banner.
Amen.
The Lord is our banner. Hallelujah. That's exactly what I'm talking about tonight. He said, when you look at us, you better remember the Lord's our standard.
Amen.
We're on the side of the Lord.
Amen.
Look in Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Glory to God. Psalm 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. Wow. And listen, and the Lord fulfill all thy petitions.
Amen.
You know, there's so much in that verse. We're rejoicing in our salvation, yes, the eternal soul salvation, but how about the battles every day that we fight?
Amen.
We're rejoicing in the God saving us from Amalek over and over and over and over again. Why? Because my banner is raised high, and I'm not going to droop and drop my colors. Amen. I'm not like when President Bush died and we have the flags at half mast. That's wonderful, but I'm not lowering my flag to half mast. Hallelujah. My flag is going to stay as high as it could possibly go. My banner stands for Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal, almighty creator, God of all heaven and earth. Amen. And listen, he's given us, the Bible says, and in the name we will set up our banners.
Yeah.
Psalm 60, Jehovah Nissi. Amen. We will set up our banners. Psalm 60, verse 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed. Hallelujah. God said, listen, if you hide your banner, you're going to lose. If you lower that thing because you don't want anybody to, you don't want to cause any problems or ruffle any feathers or make any waves, God says, I didn't give that banner to you to lay on the ground. I gave that banner to you to fly in the sky. Amen. And through that banner, you would simply be identifying yourself with the Holy One of Israel. And that's where victory is. That's where victory lies.
Right.
Oh, praise God. It's simply a matter, listen to me, it's simply a matter of not burying our colors. We're going to wave it higher. And this is what we need to do when Amalek shows up. Raise it a little bit higher.
That's right.
Raise it a little bit higher. Isn't it interesting to you, though, as you go back to Exodus, isn't it interesting to you, it is to me, verse 15, the Bible says that Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Now, an altar is not a flag. An altar is not a banner. Why didn't he build a flagpole? Maybe he didn't have a flagpole. Maybe he didn't have any lumber. He didn't have any cloth or material to make a flag, but he made an altar of stones.
That's right.
You say, well, preacher, what's the connection there? Oh, think about it now.
Yeah.
What's the connection there? It's prayer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's an altar of sacrifice. An altar always represents two things, prayer and praise. Prayer, and I can represent giving, but I'm giving God my prayers,
right,
my praise. It's always, listen, so if I'm going to fly my flag, Jehovah Nissi, my banner is the Lord God Almighty. Listen, it is, the key is my prayer life, my sacrifice of prayer and praise. That's what Jesus, that's what Moses, that's what the Lord God Almighty, that's what God's trying to tell us here for victory in this battle against Amalek. Ultimately, it's my prayer life. Because when Moses lowered his hands, what happened? Amalek prevailed. I want to say something to you as we close the service tonight. Since we moved into this building, there hasn't been real liberty to preach. Tonight's been about the best. Thank God for that. And I don't know. I don't think it's me. I mean, I'm just preaching like I always preach, I think. But I believe that Amalek, again, like I said at the beginning of the message, Amalek is up against us. Miss Chelsea even mentioned it earlier before I even got to the message. Everybody's in a battle somehow against some type of flesh. Hopefully it's not your own. I mean, your own ought to be the easiest to beat, but many times, amen, it's not. But the fact is this, we've got to fight this battle.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. The Lord is our flag. The Lord is our standard. He is our beacon. The world needs to know, amen, God, and we fight for God, with God, and He fights for us. He's on our side, and we're on His.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And it dawned on me, somewhat maybe ignorantly, I should have thought of this earlier, but, and we're going to do this more so when we have our grand opening, so to speak, but what we really need to do is we just need to have a prayer time to just pray for one thing, mainly priority tonight before we dismiss. And that is, God, this building is dedicated and devoted to You, to Your service, and we will not, and we do not ever desire for our flesh or anybody else's flesh to ever come in here and prevail.
Amen.
And I just think tonight we need to raise our banner.
Amen.
In prayer. I know that you pray. I know that you have your own prayer times and your own prayer lives. But tonight, without any further ado, I'm going to invite you, and visitors again, I appreciate you being here. You're welcome to join us in prayer. But I'm going to invite you guys, men, if you would, come up here to the altar. And let's all find, you can use the sides over.